This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. Hold on, y'all. With all this talk about making babies that we love to do, let's talk for a second about feeding those little miracles when they come. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company that started with a simple mission: make the best formula in the world. When chest feeding isn't an option, ByHeart's clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula is there for you. Their patented protein blend gets closest to breast milk. Plus, ByHeart is made with certified clean ingredients and no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. And it's the only U.S.-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk, not skim. ByHeart also happens to be clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit up, and softer poops versus a leading infant formula, which, trust me, you're gonna want. So tell me, you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code QueerFam for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We are happy to have them on board, aren't we, Robin?
We are. I need help.
You need it. You need help. You do. So do I. It's okay.
Oh, guys. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk.
If These Ovaries Could Talk.
They're talking.
Why am I repeating everything you say?
Keep doing it.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Jamie. No, I'm Robin. See what I did there?
And we're your hosts.
We're here to talk about ovaries and babies and LGBTQ families.
And just all the things non-traditional.
I know, we got a big show today.
We do.
Oh my God. Sheila Cruz.
Sheila Cruz has the coolest name. Right? I love that name. I wish I had a cool name like that. Sheila Cruz.
And she's from the Graham Foster Care Agency.
And she's fun.
And we basically, this is, by the way, theme of season three, another person we stalked because we met them at Brooklyn Pride. We met a representative from and we were like, we need to talk to an agency about fostering because there's a lot of, you know, questions from, I don't know, I had questions if the LGBTQs can foster.
So. Right. We weren't even sure that that was a welcome thing.
Yeah. So we got
also,
Sheila.
I know nothing about fostering and it's an option for our families. Right?
Yeah,
so,
totally.
You know, so
let's get her in here and have her
answer some questions. Let's get her in here. We got so many.
So many questions.
So many questions. Sheila.
Cruz. Hi, Sheila.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. How are you today and this evening?
Good, good. It is so good to have you here. We should say how we met.
Oh, that would be awesome. I'd like to know that. Oh, at Graham, how you met? I would love to hear that.
Yeah, well, it was Brooklyn Pride. We had a booth at Brooklyn Pride, which was kind of
a makeshift
table. It's
still
one of my favorite days.
It was a good day.
It was a good day.
Because we met a lot of people, got some good guests there. And
yeah, it was fun to be around all the gays.
We love the gays.
Okay. Yeah, rainbow, nothing wrong with that.
And someone from your agency came by and was talking about foster because we had like all this parenting stuff up. And we were like, then after I was like, I was like, Jamie, I was like, did you get that lady's name? And I was like, she was like, we have her card, but there's no name on it.
We got the card.
So then I sent this like very weirdly, like,
I took a picture of the card and I sent you the card.
So I was like, there's no name on this. So I had to send an email to just basically to info@Graham.
Okay, great.
And I was like, there was this lady who stopped by our table. She talked about fostering. could she be on our podcast? It was like the weirdest. And that's when I got.
But this is how we get our guests.
It really
is. Not really.
It's like, a great way because it's connecting.
Right, connect, right.
And that's exactly what we want to do. We want to connect with the individual.
I love that.
Well, give us the elevator pitch of you and why you're here. Because I think we've just done a lot of talking, but no one has any idea where you're from or why you're here.
Okay.
We're great hosts.
Except right. She's like a ray of sunshine.
She really is.
When she walks in the room.
You.
So it's nice.
You have such a nice smile. You're all lit up.
I know, Sheila. Look at you.
Oh, wait, please.
So let's see. Let's start with the first floor in the elevator.
Okay.
Sheila Cruz.
First floor in the elevator.
Yes. Ding. I actually work at Graham. I am entering into my second year at Graham.
Uh-huh.
Graham is in a foster adoption agency here in New York City. We are always looking for people who would want to open up their hearts and their home to children in need. And through fostering and adoption, but our goal is always at fostering.
Okay.
Fostering. Mm-hmm. I was actually a foster parent with Graham Windham.
Oh, and you were?
Yes. And that's how I heard about Graham, because I was looking to extend my own personal family, and I wanted to foster.
Did you already have some of your own kids, and then you opened up to fostering?
I had biological children as well. I also did fostering through another agency, who were people who were adopting, and they had to wait. I would watch those babies until they actually went to an adoption agency. So it was temporary, but I knew it was temporary because they was going into a home. It's just finalizing the paperwork.
You just watch them.
And from there, I wanted to do fostering because I realized I like taking care of other people's children, knowing that they would go back home if it was possible. If it was possible.
Hopefully they would go
back. It's like you're like
home.
A stopgap for someone who
Correct.
Needs help.
Right. And I think because of that, that is one of the reasons why ACS and the state has realized that foster parents, you know, really like resource parents. So we have changed that acronym to resource parent. Because what happens is if you say you're a resource parent, it helps you to be able to mentally and psychologically begin to disconnect just in case that permanent piece on your side may not work. So if I say you're being used, we're looking to you as a resource parent, then your understanding is that this is fostering.
Yeah.
I am opening my heart and my home to a child. And perhaps it may not be a forever home. But I'm helping.
Yeah. That is an interesting way of looking at it.
So right. So if you go into it with that perspective in mind, maybe it's easier with whatever particular outcome might come from it.
Correct. Because we're always planning. Our goal at Graham Windham's agency is permanency, however that may look like. If that's called what we call reunification, children going back home because their parents have done the services or the whatever was required of them because of the removal of their children. However, at the same time, we're concurrent planning with the resource parent for an adoption if this is going to be the forever home and permanency home. So we're never just coming up with the idea, what are we going to do with children? We come in with a plan. We come in on both ends, supporting everybody. Because our goal is to make sure this child knows that they do have a forever home.
Robin, I have a serious topic for a second.
Okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
Listen, we talk a lot about how hard parenting is.
Yes, we do.
And we talk about therapy, right? And it makes me wonder if life stress, parenting, all of it ever gets in the way of your happiness.
Well, the short answer is yes.
And you know, we're not shy about the fact that we have sponsors. We have them.
Yep.
But I have never been as excited as I am about offering what this sponsor is offering, BetterHelp. It's basically online therapy.
Oh, I know. I love BetterHelp. It's just, I think it's such a fantastic idea.
It's great.
So when you go online and you go to sign up, they get a snapshot of what's going on for you. And then they match you with a licensed professional therapist. And you can start chatting with somebody in like less than a day.
Yeah. And sometimes you need it to be that fast. Yeah. Like if, and when I decide I want to do therapy, I want to do it now.
Yes.
Not 6 weeks from now. And it, listen, this isn't a crisis line. It's not a self-help group. It is professional counseling that's done securely online. And as a mom, the online part obviously is like the main thing I like about it. I don't have to take an hour commuting to therapy, wait in the lobby and then have therapy and then take another hour commuting. I don't have that time. I can't.
No. So. And I just really appreciate that they have a ton of different counselors with all different types of expertise. So if you're in a small town, you might not have options like this available to you.
That's true. Another cool feature. You can log into your account at any time and send a message to your counselor anytime. Mm-hmm. And you get a timely and thoughtful response, like quickly.
That's great.
But if you're not into that, you can also just schedule weekly phone or video sessions, which is what I did.
And they're committed to helping you find the right counselor. So if you start off with someone, the vibe's not right, you can just totally easily change counselors, and that's free. And I'm telling you, finding a therapist has always been the thing that keeps me from doing it. This is great. And their prices are actually cheaper than in-office therapy.
Love that.
So,
and they have financial aid.
Yes, that's huge.
Yeah. So anyone out there who thinks maybe they could stand to talk to someone, just visit betterhelp.com/OCT and join the over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional.
And guess what? To our listeners, Ovaries Talk fans, you get 10% off your first month if you visit betterhelp.com/OCT.
Do it. So you know please you want do that. To. Everybody needs help.
I mean, just a little
help. A little help.
Ain't hurt nobody.
Bye. A little help from my therapist. So tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into this. Give us your elevator pitch on you. And you say you were fostering even before.
So. Yes. Well, I did it for several years with Graham. Only agency I worked with, which is really awesome because my experience there was positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, you work there now, so I would assume.
Right. But I didn't work. That was over... now you made me start. Elevator 3 interruption. She wants me to give out almost my age.
You don't have to
Mind
say any
that I'm
numbers.
I'm 21 right now, so maybe 20 years ago.
You're like the first person to start at 14 fostering. Yes.
At one.
There you go.
We're all 21, Sheila.
They didn't have a lot of rules back then. So I became a foster parent, and I fostered. I fostered children who needed help. Babies, young adults, and teens, LGBTQ. And the reason I fostered was because during that time I fostered was the crack epidemic was going on.
Wow.
And a lot of people.
In New York. Imagine a lot of babies. A
lot of families and babies. But the older teens and the middle ages weren't being, like now, we're always looking for people who want to take large sibling groups of teens. So I was able to take in some older youth and support them in their transition, not just not having their regular family home, but just helping them like we would anybody with their development and find out who they are and how we all fit into this world.
Where did you come to this? Because it sounds like you started this. I know you're aging yourself, but it sounds like you started this young.
Yeah.
You were on a mission.
Yeah. Well, what happens is my mom had babies young, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. On single mom, teenager. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother was, because she's passed, mm-hmm. LGBTQ. My grandmother,
oh, your grandmother
identified
was?
As a lesbian.
Shut up. I'm sorry, your grandmother passed. I like to say that to anybody, but yeah.
And she
not sorry she was LGBTQ.
Not at
I'm
all.
Excited by that.
Yeah.
My
exciting,
grandma,
but the time when she was LGBT identified and lived her truth, she had to hide her truth.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And my godmother was her lover. I can't say her wife because unfortunately my grandmother had to do like a lot of other women. They had to pretend
like they just needed to share an apartment.
Get someone, have a baby.
They were besties.
And now you can be who you are because now it can be held behind doors.
Yeah.
Wow.
To the public, she had a son. So that nullified all suspicion.
Right. It's just like a broken
home. How could
home
I be gay? I have a son.
Right. But in my family, we all knew within the home.
Oh, but even when your grandma was your grandma, because
she was just my grandma, I didn't know no different.
Right. But like, was she out? She wasn't even out then because she was older then. And like,
yes. No, you couldn't be out then.
No, even then.
Yeah.
No, she was during the time when it was never spoken of.
Mm-hmm.
And
those people tend to not ever get there because it's just the way it was.
The generation.
Right. So therefore, she never got to live her truth. If she was alive, she'd be about 90 years old now.
Right.
So she never lived her truth publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. There were rumors that my grandma was gay too.
Oh,
she didn't have hair. She hung out with the biker chick crew. Oh, she fixed motorcycles. I mean.
And that's so sad because that's anybody.
Yeah. Oh, your grandma.
So, I have biological siblings of 5, but I will have 10 brothers in addition to that. My mother took 10 boys in from the community whose family threw them away because they identified the LGBTQ community.
Your mom did?
Yeah. She raised.
So your mom was a foster mom, but
an off the books foster mom.
And she wasn't LGBT in any way, but she knew her mom was.
Right. And then I have biological brothers who unfortunately have passed away.
I'm sorry.
And they were from the LGBTQ community as well. Yeah, so it's...
So you're deeply rooted in our community and in fostering.
Yes.
You are our
resource homing?
Yeah, well...
Doesn't feel quite right.
Right, no, it's a foster home.
Yep.
So we're going with what is going to help foster parents feel more comfortable and understand their role. Because when you say foster parent, that means I'm a parent of someone. That means there's certain rights that's entitled to a parent that someone else doesn't get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in fostering, that's not true.
Yeah.
And fostering, there are certain skills and training you'll learn because you cannot raise a foster child like your own child.
Right.
Yeah. Because they are not your child.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we want to now use the word resource parent.
Yeah.
So now you understand you have some authority in the sense of what a parent may do, nurturing, feeding, clothing, making sure their education is met, their physical, their medical. But you may not always be able to do anything that another parent might be able to do. Like just pick them up and take them to California.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or even just to go to Secaucus, New Jersey.
Right.
You got to get permission.
Yeah. It's to help the foster parents with whatever transition might happen in the future for them.
Correct.
It's like a mental state.
It's a mental thing, right?
It really is.
It's also kind of like you're like auntie. Like you're not mom. Mm-hmm. You got to talk to...
Well, you're still...
Yes, you got to talk to Graham in reference to some of the things that you may want to do with the child, right?
Yeah, your auntie.
Yeah, you're not just going to Europe for a vacation. You're not...
I don't mean to be...
Right, but you can... But you could go on vacation, right?
You just have
it's
to get permission.
Right, and it's case by case.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because we have what we do, a training called Reasonable and Prudent Parenting for our foster parents. Because when I was a foster parent, you could not allow children to go on vacation or maybe even ride a bicycle. Why?
Whoa.
Safety concern. You don't want the children to get hurt. Now children
this
can ride
bicycles.
This
is even a while ago.
Yeah. Now children can ride bicycles and go on family trips and do sleepaway camp.
That's nice.
Right. But it would be case by case. And the reason I say that is because some children may have special needs or circumstances that may not be reasonable, just like if it was your own child.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You may have, biologically, you may have a child that you know that you can give one the keys, but the other one you know not to give them the keys.
I do. Right? My youngest gets the keys, the oldest does not get the keys.
Right.
Exactly. You know?
But yet they're age appropriate, but cognitive and developmentally, no. He's 14 or she's 15, but they're not getting the keys to my house.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, so as a resource parent, you learn a lot.
Yeah.
Mm. The training comes in and we show you and we help you and we support you on being able to negotiate, because a lot of times resource parents sometimes already had children.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's very hard to tell someone, well, this is what you're going to do. But oh, no, that don't work. I had five babies. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And then we remind them, I understand that. And that was great that you have five. And it was great that you did that. But right now that would not work. But we're going to give you some other discipline techniques, right?
Right.
Because we also remind them a lot of times when we did things, it was really punishment. Mm-hmm. It was never about discipline.
Yeah.
And so then they learn through the MAP training. That's the model opposed to partnership and parenting that we give to our resource parents. They learn, wow, you know, I can discipline in a way because we're going to change behavior, but never change the child.
Right.
So we don't want to change children. And that even comes to their sexuality. We don't want to change children. How children see themselves and how children identify. We work with them according to who they really are. This is just who I am. And it has nothing to do with this is not what society says or this is not what we want you to do. We want you to do this different in order to fit in. That's the way it used to be, right?
Yeah,
people's
sure. Like left-handed kids, right-handed.
Right. So we really support our youth that come into care at no matter what age and how they see themselves and how they want to be identified, how they want to express themselves. And we just support.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to support every child that walks through the door.
And it sounds like you give the foster parents like a roadmap.
Correct.
I had, when I first called Anne and from Graham and talked to you, I was under the misconception that LGBTQ people wouldn't qualify to be foster homes.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's a very pervasive.
It's a good question.
I think it because of regular adoption, we've been told by so many people that you have to lie about your partnership.
A foreign country.
Yeah, and you have to adopt as a single person. So I just made that mental leap. It would be the same for fostering. So that's not the case?
No, it's not. In order to be a foster parent, you don't have to have any skills. And there's no sexuality questionnaires or anything like that.
Is that family, everywhere or just Graham?
That's Graham and everywhere. Why? Wow. Because family makeup is just family.
Right.
And family is made up of people who love each other. Family can be LGBTQ. Family can be black and white. Family can be siblings, raising siblings.
Yeah.
So family has no boundaries. Graham has what we call inclusion. We want everyone to be involved. We want everyone to open. Why? Because when we open the door, then everybody has a voice. And then we learn so much from one another. We have at Graham what we call pillars. Our pillars are to thrive, respect, grow, and lead.
Mm-hmm.
Those are what we cherish.
That's what you're looking for.
Right. And so when you come to be a foster parent, we want single dads, single moms. We have grandmoms. We have empty nesters. We have LGBTQ. We have heterosexual. We have living.
It's more about who makes a good home.
Right. Yeah. We have people who just live together. We have young people who are just 21 and 22 because you have to be 21 of age and have your own apartment in your name in order to foster, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least on the lease. Requirements. Any and everybody's welcome.
It's so refreshing.
It is refreshing.
It really is. I don't know why. You saying that obviously makes so much sense because nobody chooses the family they're born into.
But I'm so surprised by this. And I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
Even hearing you say this, though, my mind was like, of course. And my heart just opened up.
Yeah.
Just because. Yes.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Well, maybe I think what happens is sometimes we have so many barriers, right? The LGBTQ community has gone through a lot of barriers.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Had to do things that everyone else shouldn't have to do just to fit in or to be, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just as me as an African-American woman.
Right.
Right? My family had to go through so many barriers just to live in certain neighborhoods or to go to certain schools to be accepted based on the color of my skin.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that. Some religions and some ethnic groups have also, right? Because it's not just a black LGBTQ. I think everybody, if they're honest, can see that history has some prejudice or barriers against people.
Sure.
Right.
And because they come into play, then you think, then my world is only narrowed to a certain position.
Right.
And I believe maybe that's what's happened with the LGBTQ when it comes to fostering.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that's usually just heterosexual, like families that we're really going to take.
It's refreshing to hear that the foster agency has opened up to all walks of families.
Correct. Okay.
My wife and I, we've always talked about maybe someday fostering.
Yeah, you got to get on this one's list because she's your next
one. No, we're not ready.
Yeah, not ready yet. And you know what? And that is one of the skills that we teach you. The first skills, because we go through 12 skills. And the number one skill is to know your family.
Right.
Because if you don't know your family, you should not be a foster parent.
Right. Yeah.
Because you got to know everybody from the baby on up. Mm. Because everyone's world changes.
Yeah.
Ooh, foster children's lives have already changed. And Graham recognized that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to make sure that whoever comes on as a resource parent knows that's the first number one skill. Know your family. So
that's the thing. The problem is I'm afraid to say it because we're like, oh yeah, we would love to foster an older, you know, like a young teenager, you know, and help them out. Like it's so idyllic and I don't want it to seem like, oh, I want to come in and change this child's life.
And you won't. And that's what we train you here at Graham as well, because what happens is children.
Yeah.
Are going to reject you. 90% of the time.
Exactly.
Because you're a stranger.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so hard for them.
And they know it's temporary a lot of times. And
sometimes, but also if counseling the age, they don't know why. They're just told.
Yeah.
Get some stuff and leave.
Ugh.
So
I know. And you hear these stories about them having to put all their stuff into a paper bag or a plastic bag to take it to their new home. And
correct. When they're removed from their home because of circumstances, right? That they don't have any control over. That may be the case that their belongings may go into a bag, as what you just stated. However, when they come to Graham, we make sure every child has a suitcase. We make sure a child has a suitcase.
Cry. I know, those are such simple things.
It's simple, but
are nice.
Right.
But it makes a huge difference in their life.
That's why when you become a foster parent, you must already have ready the room. You must have employment.
Yes.
Because there's going to accumulate some expenses. And so therefore there's certain things we require that your home would already have.
Yeah.
Because we want the children to walk into something that looks like a home.
Like they're welcome.
Right. They're welcome. And they still may not appreciate it because it's not their home. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you have the best bed or the best dresser. You have a closet full of clothes.
Doesn't matter.
You're not the person that they were living with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we train you at Graham. We also have at what we call our, I work for the Recruitment Development and Support, RDS department. And so we have support for you when you come in as a foster parent. So when you decide to be a foster parent, right?
Maybe a year from now.
Sheila's going to be a while. It's going to be, we need a bedroom. We barely have a bedroom for our kids. So it's going to be.
Okay. But we could always.
6 months from now, though.
Yeah, 6 months from now.
Let's put that in the universe. Yes.
It is. No, it
see
is.
See how I'm opening up Jamie's home, but not my home?
I know. Look at you.
I'm coming to you.
I can't handle this.
She's coming over. She was coming over.
I'll let you recruit her because at Graham, what we do is if you become a foster parent and you recruit someone and they get their first placement, you get $200.
Bonus money.
Whoa.
Yes, because
we'll split that $200, Jamie.
Because we feel if you if you become that foster parent, right?
Yes.
That means you met a lot of the requirements, you went through it.
Sure.
And we're having a working relationship.
Right.
Then like-minded people are going to be some similar to your personality, similar to your values and your belief system. So we want you to tell your friends about it.
Right.
So
and that makes sense. I get that.
In the recruitment process, we do what we call a pre-screening. So we do ask you certain questions like, do you have any mental health issues or safety concerns in your home? Mm. Have you had a felony? And then once you get through the pre-screening, then you come in. And it's a lot of documents and paperwork that we ask. And then you go through what we call MAP, the Model Approach to Partnership and Parenting, a 5-week training session. Mm. And then you get a home study. And then after that, the home study goes through and all the paperwork is in. Your home is ready to be open and you'll become that resource parent that's going to get a phone call. Mm-hmm. And then that's when the real test comes. Right? 'Cause it's fun. Like you said, it's the ideal. Is there and all the things I said I wouldn't do or I wouldn't say.
Mm-hmm. And then it all comes out of your mouth.
Yes. So you're always being trained throughout. Mm-hmm. You even get therapeutic training. Hmm. You get LGBTQ training. Mm-hmm. You'll get trained how to deal with different discipline techniques.
What's specific about the LGBTQ training?
Mainly because a lot of resource parents based on generation. Mm-hmm. May have different beliefs and value systems.
Okay.
We want them to make sure that their understanding of the children is coming into our home, into their home. So we teach them language.
Oh, so you're saying it's not training LGBTQ parents, it's LGBTQ training to... Okay, so now
the population.
To be inclusive. Okay.
Right, inclusive.
I misunderstood that.
Yeah. After the pre-screening, when you learn about a certain person or couple or whoever who wants to foster,
right?
Would you then, and they make it through screening and you know they're ready to have their home open, would it be possible that this family who might have religious beliefs that don't believe that LGBTQ persons are that way from birth or what, you know, whatever their belief, would it be possible that a gay child would be placed with a family that didn't believe in gay?
No, because before you come into the MAP training, you must be an affirming home of everyone.
Oh,
so I have that conversation. I have the conversation. I am the only recruiter at Grand Wyndham, and my supervisor, Anne, the one you met, she supports me and she works. So it's between the both of us.
Oh.
So I have deep discussions.
You do.
And I have, it's to
hard.
Understand.
That's hard.
It is very hard, but have an understanding. We're not asking anyone to change right?
But you tell me where you stand.
Right.
Like, tell me now, are you okay with this? Can you be okay with
and
this?
And I remind them, a lot of times it's just your own discomfort. Mm-hmm. We realize that people have to, takes time for change.
Something they don't know.
So they don't know. And so it's a understanding why such a defense.
Yeah. Mm.
Is it something internal, the internal battle, but has nothing to do with the youth in front of you?
Yeah.
Right.
That has really nothing to do with it.
I always say
it
took us
reflection.
Years to get comfortable with it. We have to expect other people. It takes time for them to get comfortable too.
Correct. But and that's what we do. And that's why we have the training. We have the support. We work, right? Because we never want to place a child in anyone's home who's not going to feel comfortable with who they are. That's just their
color.
That
would be awful. That would be awful.
It's because of the way they dress.
Right.
It has all... Because they're LGBTQ.
Anything.
Right. It could be anything. We don't allow you to make children go to church. Mm. If that's what you do, that's fine. But you will find other things for the children to do while you attend service. Right?
Love that.
Because so, we don't want... And if someone's...
You don't want them to be indoctrinated into their family.
So therefore, if I'm a Muslim and you're a Christian, I'll go to my mosque. You'll go to your church.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the foster parent and the resource parents understand that.
Yeah.
And they make those accommodations. So it's the same thing. If I have a youth in my home and I allow dating and I have another youth in other LGBTQ community, they're allowed to date too.
Right. Yeah.
You
right.
cannot separate. Mm-hmm. If you're allowing couples to have their partners come over to visit,
right.
LGBTQ is allowed to have their couple come over and visit. You can't have two sets of rules.
Right.
It must be all inclusive for everyone. Now, if your home is set up where you as the resource parent does not want company over, and it's reasonable why you don't want company, and it's the house rule for everybody.
Right.
You know, and long as we see that, then that's called consistency.
Right.
But long
that makes sense. Yeah. I get that. Yeah.
Is fostering a path to adoption? Should anyone think of it like that? Or is that a mistake? Like, does that ever happen?
I'm not going to say it's a mistake to think that you can use it as a path to adoption. I just don't want, when I recruit, and the way Graham expresses it to foster parents, potential ones that walk in the door, if that is your sole goal, then no.
That's not for you.
Fostering is not the way to go. Because if that's your only goal, then you are going to be depressed.
Disappointed.
And
I imagine,
disappointed.
Right?
Because most children, especially if you're looking at a baby, are going to find a relative, which we call kinship fostering. Or that parent is going to do what they need to do to have their baby placed.
I never even thought of the relative right. coming back. So like a grandmother or an uncle could come back. Mm.
Well, we talked to a couple who are like angels on earth. They live in Texas and they have fostered
7 or 8.
So many children.
More since then.
But they told us, you know, they learned early on that you can't expect to adopt every child. And if you are soft-hearted with this, then fostering is not for you either, because they've had to give at least a baby back.
They nursed one baby back who was a shaken baby syndrome.
Oh,
and the baby had all kinds of stuff, and they nursed the kid back, and then the father came back.
But grandma came back too and was very involved.
Right, kinship.
So, and they were happy to give, and they're still in contact.
But it was still hard for them, though.
Right.
But it's very hard. So.
And we at Graham recognize that.
Right.
So what we do is we have coaches and foster parents who have gone through what we call the grieving process because it's called separation and loss.
I can't imagine,
So what we do is we meet you at that point of your need, however you deal with separation and loss, because everyone grieves different.
Yes.
So as a resource parent, we realize the coaches will know this family was attached. Now they're going to have a conversation with you. They're going to cry with you if that's what you want. They'll hug you if that's what you want. If you want tea, that's what you get. So another, you know what I mean?
How about wine? Can we get wine? Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to say that on air if they would do that, because I would not know. Well, so
she's like, no, but shaking her head, yes.
No, she is not. My eyeballs in the air, like, I'm not going there.
No.
But because what happens is we recognize, just like a bio parent, and this is when sometimes the resource parents recognize now why the bio parents may act the way they do and respond to you. because they see their child for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or maybe 6 hours a total of a week. And they look at you side eye because they're going through the separation and loss continuously.
Yeah.
So now
I can't imagine.
Right. So now you go through it and we're going to work you through that. Because especially if you felt this might have been something mighty permanent for you, we're going to be there for you. We're going to support you. Grandma's not going to leave you alone. But we're going to allow you to dictate how much of that support you want. Because some people can bounce back quick and other people need time. Now, I did it. I was called a foster boarding home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That means no adoption. But I had children who was very attached to every child who was leaving my home.
Yeah. Oh, I can imagine.
And so, because they would say, oh, the rights are being terminated, Miss Sheila. You want them? Oh, no. When you want me to come pack their bags and have them ready for you? And I meant that in a loving way, right? Because I knew my heart. My heart was just really to support. And I really worked with the bio parents. I wanted them to get their children back.
Yeah.
But that was my own personal goal. But however, because it didn't happen, the adoptive resource parent would allow my children to visit the children.
Oh, that's nice.
And it
nice.
Was very nice because it was for them to be able to separate.
Oh, yeah.
And that doesn't always happen. But for me, it did. It really
so
worked
nice.
Well. And I remember that like the third child and it was time. And I said, are you ready to go? No, we're fine, Mom. We're fine. You know, so they like, so in other words, they had gotten to the routine. This someone is coming and they're not staying forever.
Yeah.
And it was getting used. And I thought it was a good life lesson because it taught my children that no one is always going to be with you forever. But when you are with them, you make the most of it.
But you also taught them to support someone in need.
Yes.
I mean, that's a tremendous lesson.
You're an angel.
Between you and Graham, I think we
all
need
these
you,
angels.
You guys think that you would foster Jamie and I as people for our podcast and our business? Like I want a support coach.
Yeah,
I want to be able to call in and cry because we have deadlines that we're missing.
Yeah, you get a lot of support. Graham has the coaches, and we also have what we call hub homes. And that's for foster parents. It's where the resource parents will host in their home or in their community center based on however you want that to look like. So we have a LGBTQ hub home. We have a Caribbean and a men's hub. And they all get together with the foster children.
And it's like a, where, you create like
a
own
village.
Umbrella family.
Yes. And the beauty of that is only ones that will come to that place, however you set it up, or go to the park or however you want to have your events, would be the coach. And it's an opportunity for all the foster parents and the children to get together. Now the children are around other children who are
similar
in these resource homes.
Yeah.
And they don't have to worry about nobody. Is that your mommy? But she doesn't look like you. Is that your daddy?
Yeah.
She doesn't look like you. Why did
you just move here? And who are you?
So now none of that is there. So it gives everyone a chance to really just feel regular, whatever that may look like, right? But it gives them that sense of community, sense of home. And you may have someone who's been a resource parent for 5 years, 20 years, 2 years, or 2 weeks. So now you can glean more for each other. You can support one another.
Yeah, it's creating a community.
Then we offer monthly meetings for the resource parents at the agency at Graham. You come and you meet once a month and you have discussions and they have topics. Then there's quarterly meetings when you meet with Jesse, who is the CEO of Graham. And he's there and the directors and case planners. The whole team comes. And that's when we call the round table. And you're able to vent. You're able to share the strengths of Graham
and
the needs of Graham.
So much support.
And because Jesse's there and the directors and the VPs, they're able to hear your concerns.
Like on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they take heart and they begin to move. And they make sure that whatever you're bringing to the table will be addressed and met. And I can say that because when I was a foster parent at Grandma, there was no hub homes. There was no coaches. So they have evolved. They realize, wow, when I was a foster parent, it was like, how do I get this person? Where do I go? I don't know. And that case planner maybe had 15 other cases. And so she couldn't get to me. Now they realize that. And you would lose people.
Yeah.
because you can get frustrated.
Yeah.
So Graham said, look, let's get support. Let's get coaches in. Let's make teams and let foster parents also support one another, because you'll make the best solution base than anybody because you're living it. Mm-hmm. You know what works and doesn't work, or what needs to be tweaked, or what needs to be a little bit more supported.
Right. Because you're in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So you bring that to the table. But I always encourage the resource parents, when you bring anything to a table, always bring a strength.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, always
start with the positive.
Right. It's a strength, because it's not even so much as a positive or a negative. Mm-hmm. It's just a strength and a need. Because mm-hmm. a need is a good strength. It just needs to be worked on.
Right.
Sure. You know, you're building that muscle up. It's a need, because I could be a great listener, but maybe not know how to communicate right. as well. So sure. it's just my need. It's yeah. not that it's my weakness, because it's not. It's there. I don't think nobody has weaknesses. I think everybody is powerful.
Jamie and I have some weaknesses.
No, wait, you just picked up on my... I feel like she's like channeling me. Yeah. She just picked up on my weakness. I'm a really good listener. I'm not good at communicating. It's like perfect.
Yeah, okay.
yeah. Well,
your strength and your need. Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your weakness.
And
you're very intuitive.
Thank you.
I mean, it's nice to hear that it's truly evolving agency.
Yeah. Yes.
And your mission is to evolve. I have a question.
Yes.
Are there communities who are underrepresented in the foster world? Like, are there parents that you wish you had more of?
Yes. There's always underrepresentation of, mm-hmm. of the resource parents.
Across the board.
Resource across, parents. Yes. Yes.
Across the board.
Really?
Always looking for economics, right? Mm-hmm. Because the more diverse of a resource parent is and evolved, mm-hmm. the more you're going to be able to bring to this youth right. that comes into your sure. home.
So would you say you have less of a higher economic and like, what is yeah. the
I know, but at the same time, I don't want to say that's the case, because right. I have so many influent mm-hmm. false resource parents. We do it, Graham. We have millionaires that mm-hmm, are foster mm-hmm. parents.
Yeah, you have the
right,
gamut.
So it's across the board for us, to be honest.
You know, because like yeah. my wife and I, we're like middle income right. to lower
right. so that's
New
what I'm
York
saying.
City well, standards.
Based,
you know,
on,
so.
Based on what's going on now, no one is middle no yeah, longer.
Right, exactly. Right. We're like down, just, you know,
just poor there. People and Jeff Bezos.
It is there.
But that's my so, question. Right.
And like, so we have, the economic is really across the board mm-hmm. with us.
That's good.
Ethnicity speaking, it's across the board.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's good.
That's
yeah.
nice to hear.
Right. So we have our LGBTQ false.
That's also
resource.
Wonderful to hear.
We have men, just plain men.
Just men.
Single. Right. Men. Yeah. Just single men. Like the other day, a gentleman came in and he was like, I want to be a foster parent. But does it sound weird that I want to do that? I said, why? I said, do you have a heart?
Oh, look
do you
at
have
you.
Love? Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah. I said, do you have income?
And
have
a house.
Right? You have a separate bedroom?
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know? So I said, then you could be a foster parent.
Well, thank good. You so much. And we're going to like
this
put you on the-
so good.
Yeah, amazing. And I hope that this opens up for some people- another path to parenting.
I hope you get calls and emails.
I would love to get some emails and calls.
Yeah.
Only because now that the LGBTQ community knows that you can foster.
Yes.
Don't think.
Just call Sheila.
Right. Don't think anything. When you walk in the door, you're just another human being.
Yeah.
Who is willing to open their heart and their home to children in need. Mm. And Graham is open to accepting you because that's what you want. We're here for the children. And we are ready to roll our sleeves up and work together as a team and meet the needs of the children.
Amazing. Well, thank
I mean,
you
I
so
have
much.
Friends who I think would be great that I'm hoping are going to listen to this. So.
Yes, y'all got your ears open.
We got people. We got, yes. We're sending people your way. We're, yes. we're all putting that in.
And
the
I have no, I only have two floors in my elevator.
Thank you so much. We have a new addition to our elevator pitch, floors.
Yes.
Floors.
Oh, this is thank good. You so
Beep.
Much.
Ding. Oh, Sheila. Oh, I'm like singing all day.
Don't do that. We can't afford the licensing
fee. I didn't
fees.
Finish it. I didn't okay. finish it.
Doesn't matter.
It's in people's heads, but I didn't even have to finish it. So
oh,
we don't.
No,
you
it's
just
in my
did
head
it
now.
You just did it. Oh, God.
Well, that
Please
was great.
Don't send it to the music people.
Yeah. the music people, as if there's like one dude who's like clearance issue, aisle seven. Oh my God. She was great. That was such a good, that's just so helpful.
Informative.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nice to know that this is a path mm-hmm. that's out there. It exists and there's support.
Yeah. And she was so down to earth and welcoming.
I know. Sheila wanted to stay and have drinks with us after. We couldn't do it though. We had work to do.
Mm. Unfortunately.
Sorry, Sheila.
We always like to have
next
drinks.
Next time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, should we get to Tiff and Carissa's segment this
week?
Yes,
we have an update with Tiff and Chris, and it's a little bit mind-blowing, not gonna lie.
Leave that ditty.
Tiff and Carissa are having a baby.
All right, so updates on our continued efforts, we'll say. We have found a slightly different... very different route.
Yes.
To getting the donor samples that we need at the not cryobank price that we definitely do not need
to continue to
continue to pay.
Yeah.
We love the donor we found. But it's really just not feasible for us right now to continue paying that amount of money.
Yeah.
For something like sperm.
So I was invited to this weird Midwestern chapter of donor Illuminati, I'm calling it. Like this weird Tinder for donors, finding donors, donor Tinder. But yeah, it's this space that kind of pairs donors who want to give anonymously free of charge to folks who are trying to get pregnant. With people who are trying to get pregnant. So we found a person, like got paired with a person, and went to meet up with him. And we had this very awkward,
it was almost like an interview.
Yeah.
And we thought we were interviewing him.
He was,
and then it turns out he was also interviewing us.
He was definitely interviewing us.
Apparently, which he told us at the end, he says no to more people than he says yes to.
Yeah.
Because he to quote him, said he doesn't want to contribute to an already bad situation. And he's kind of nerdy, too, and awkward. Mm-hmm. And we just got, like, all together a good vibe from the situation. I mean, obviously, it's awkward. And even he, like, started the quote-unquote meeting with.
Yeah.
So this is always awkward. We just have to push through the awkwardness.
For sure. For
which
sure.
we did.
Yeah.
So Tiffany took the, like, let me suss out the character of this person, which I was doing a little bit of, too. But I was definitely, like, trying to rack my brain for all of the questions that you're supposed to ask these people.
But also, he was very honest and very knowledgeable. Like, he was definitely schooling us on kind of how the law works here with regard to situations like the one we all were entering into in that moment, and kind of helping us understand like how contracts work and how they can be used against us.
Yeah, so altogether, like a positive experience, and we're pretty sure that we're gonna arrange so that the next time Tiffany's ovulating, we're gonna attempt it.
Holy!
Oh my goodness!
Holy freaking crap!
Holy shit! Did not see that coming.
Okay, so these are the things that stuck with me. A, they switched to a white donor.
I thought he was. I thought they had already chosen. They didn't choose a white
donor. No, the first donor was, I think, a person of color, I believe. We've already forgotten. It's been episodes before.
Because really, it doesn't matter in the long run.
Really, of course not.
Right? This has been established.
No, but that was a big decision thing for them.
Yeah.
And also, that dude had like a lot of control and opinions. And like, I'm like a little nervous. I'm like nervous for them.
I understand what you're saying. It's like they're not millennials. Are they millennials? What are they? Gen Zers?
No, they're millennials.
It's like new millennial gay way. Like I never thought in a million years something like this could happen.
No, they're trusting an app.
It's amazing. I don't know. Like part of me is like, wow. Get on with your bad self.
Like
right?
Great.
And I'm such a suspicious person that why is he doing this? Why is he doing it?
And also why does he get to pick? I want to just buy this shit online. I'm so uncomfortable and nervous about these kinds of non-legally binding situations.
I think he had a lot of advice because I think my thought was that he doesn't want to have to do this too many times. So he's do it this way. So, cause I know the right way. And then we don't have to continue jizzing.
But what if he's been doing that? Ew. What if he's doing it for a lot of people?
Well,
we have to just trust this guy and
sperm banks.
But there's professionals vetting them. Lisa in our episode last week said that they have now implemented psychological testing to see if they're lying.
We went through it.
At least there was a lot of pros, and that's what they did for a living.
There has to be a level of trust involved in all of these.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Choices. We make, absolutely. Right? It's a new way. It's a new door to go through. And I wish them all the luck and good.
I'm literally biting my nails for them. I'm so excited.
They're very excited.
I know.
So that's good.
And they're so hopeful. I love love their.
It's taking us back, right? It's taking me back to those days.
This whole series with them is taking me back.
Mm-hmm.
But making me nervous.
And hopefulness.
I know. I the part of me that's a to-do lister, I just want them to get pregnant right away.
I know.
Please just let them get a baby. Because it's just I feel like I am invested in their stress level. And I just have enough stress.
Oh, your poor kids. What are you going to do?
I'm ruining them right now.
We all are.
Okay, well, as always, Tiff and Krista, don't ever leave us because we have to hear how this ends. Oh my gosh.
I'm so happy for them, though. They found somebody. They're happy about it.
Let them get the baby. Then I'll be happy.
Yeah, it's going to go great.
Jesus Christmas.
It's fun.
Yeah.
We got a really cool clip from a listener that we want you guys to hear. Her name is Jessica, and she loves us.
That means we love her.
Yeah, duh. All you have to do is say you love us.
It's called my childhood. If you loved me, I was like, all right then.
Yeah, me too. That's how I am now still. Okay.
Except our wives. We picked them specially. Okay.
You had to say that.
It was coming out bad.
Okay, so A, she loves us, which we love too. And B, she has a little bit of legal advice for people, but it's also her story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and take a listen.
Hi, this is Jessica Chauvin from Austin, Texas. Here is my family's elevator pitch because hashtag superfan. My wife, Bridget, and I got married 5 years ago. And last year in September, I gave birth to our son, Diego. I am Mexican and she is white, so we decided to go with a white donor to hopefully have some resemblance of her and our baby. While I was pregnant, we met with a family lawyer who is a lesbian herself, and she told us that Bridget didn't need to file for second parent adoption of Diego. She had found another way to protect the second parent rights as the intended parent before he was even born. We filed for a parental adjudication and one before a Travis County judge to swear that Bridget was the intended second parent of Diego, that we plan to share all parenting responsibilities, and that he is as much hers as he is mine. This is something our lawyer was able to do with her own wife and children because her wife carried and she wanted to make sure she was also recognized as the second parent to her kids. I'm not sure if this is something that anybody can do in any state, but at least here in Texas, this is something that has given us peace of mind. I was a little worried moving here and giving birth to children in such a conservative state, but Austin has proven to be quite progressive, and I am so glad that we found this loophole, if you will. So we didn't have to file for a second parent adoption, and Bridget would be recognized as much as a parent to Diego as I am. Thank you so much for all that you guys are doing. We love listening to your podcast, and thank you so much.
My God, I love Jessica.
Me too.
And I love this, but this, I do have to say though, that hearing when I got that clip, I brought it to Jamie and we were like, let's just check in with our legal guru because, so many people talk about second parent adoption as the only route to parental rights. And I just wanted to make sure, that we're not putting stuff out in the world.
Right. Well, we don't want to give you guys advice about something we know nothing
about.
And that's
basically everything.
I mean, yeah, we do that way too much. So we're trying to cover our bases.
Cover our
make
asses.
Sure we're not screwing things
CYA.
Up here.
But
it worked for Jessica.
It did. No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we reached out to our friend Brian Esser, law offices of Brian Esser.
He was also a guest on season one.
Go back and listen to him.
Mm-hmm. He's got a lot of good advice.
Go-to legal genius for the LGBTQs. Mm-hmm. So let's hear Brian.
He's also doing my second parent adoption.
Yes, Brian. Let's see what he has to say about Jesse's advice.
Thank you for forwarding this really great listener question. Your listener is correct that some states provide alternate means for obtaining a court order confirming the parentage of the non-bio parent. I can't speak to the availability of this in Texas, but it sounds like the listener consulted a knowledgeable lawyer, and I'm reasonably confident that her family has the protection they need. I would guesstimate that roughly half the states have the availability to obtain these parentage judgments. In the remaining states, a second parent adoption is recommended. New York does not yet have the availability to do parentage judgments. These parentage judgments should be recognized in all 50 states the same way an adoption would be recognized, but it may not be recognized outside of the United States because this is a uniquely American concept. The country of family is traveling to or moving to does not recognize the parentage judgment that might complicate their situation. The judgment may not be enough to obtain citizenship in a non-bio parent's home country. A second parent adoption may be required in that instance. Families should meet with a lawyer knowledgeable about LGBTQ family law to make a decision about what they need to do to protect themselves. Finally, New York has legislation pending that would make parentage judgments available here, too. You can find the Protecting Modern Families Coalition, which is working to change the law, on the web at modernfamiliescoalition.com. If you live in New York, please write or call your elected officials and ask them to support the Child Parent Security Act. The session ends in late June, so now is the time to reach out.
Oh, my God. What would we do without Brian Esser?
I don't know. I mean, you know, he's helping me, so...
Yeah, I mean, but I think that's really great advice, right? It's just, it's important to just make sure you're securing your parental rights. And if you have plans to live internationally, you want to keep that in mind about what path you choose.
Right. It's just nice to know that there's options to secure your rights, right? And it's great that she wrote in and, you know, sent us the voicemail about how her path and... Thank you. Thank you, Jessica, for that. And, you know, it might help somebody out there.
All right. So, guys, come see us live on June 10th. It's your gift to yourself. We're at the Green Space.
For Pride.
WNYC. And you can go through ovariestalk.com to get tickets.
You can get them there.
Please come see us.
Mm-hmm. There's like a button they can press, right? On the website.
there is indeed a button.
I'm just talking you guys through it at home.
Okay. See, guys, she just said push the button. Click the link.
Also, you know, you can hit us up.
As Judy Gold said, clink. She was trying to say click the link and she said clink. And then she coined a new word.
Oh, really?
Judy Gold. All right.
Oh, Judy, our BFF.
Where can people get us, Jamie?
Well, they can get us on the email, ovariestalk@gmail.com. They can get it at Facebook, If These Ovaries Could Talk, Instagram, ovaries_talk, and at the well-known Twitter. Just pop on over to
Ovaries Talk.
I don't even know what that was.
Oh, God.
We're tired.
All right. Well, eggs, exhaustion,
ovaries. Eggs, ovaries.
Out.
Out.
If ovaries could talk, they would say, eggs, ovaries, out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.